Welcome to another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem, the podcast taking a look behind the scenes of the fantasy sports industry through interviews with some of your favorites in the business. On this episode, I sat down with Joe Bond of Fantasy Six Pack to talk about the meaning behind the website's name, being accurate in rankings, getting ghosted by writers, putting out content for different fantasy sports, being a computer guy, and a ton more. Make sure you're following Joe on Twitter at F6P_Joe. You can follow me on Twitter at TheCaseyKasem, as well as the show at GetReal_Pod. Make sure to drop me a message on Twitter letting me know that you listen to the show. That is truly rewarding, hearing that people are listening to the show. So thanks so much for being an awesome listener. This podcast is a proud member of the DAP Network. And now, here's my conversation with Joe Bond on Get Real with Casey Kasem.
Sparkling water up here. Yay.
Go get one.
No, I'm good. I haven't even had dinner yet, so I don't think that drinking and then eating, you know, wrong order.
maybe.
Okay, so we're here. We're not live because if you're listening to this right now, it's not live, but that's okay. It's okay. I have Joe Bond here. Joe, I'm so happy to have you on the show. I saw someone retweet one of your tweets, and then I was like, I got to get Joe on. Like when I saw that come across, because I was like, okay, I'm gonna kind of scroll my feed and see what I can find. And I was like, there we go, right there. So thank you for joining the show.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me on. I learned about your show. I think we got nominated for an FSWA award, by the way. Congratulations on that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Again, as you probably, you know, don't see a ton of my stuff. I don't see a ton of your stuff on Twitter for some reason. The algorithm is bizarre. So for whatever reason, like your stuff just kind of disappeared. And I was like, what is this new show? And I listened to a whole bunch of the episodes recently. I was like, these are fantastic.
Thank you.
They're so intriguing. Just listening to all the stories everybody had. And I listened to Bob Harris's the other day, too. Like, that guy, he's awesome. I love him. So that was one I definitely was like, I got to listen to that one. That was great. I'm just scrolling through the list. I'm like, I know all of these people. It's so awesome.
I love it. I love being able to talk to people. I love being able to reach out to people and be like, hey, do you want to talk for a little bit about stuff that's not fantasy sports related? And most of the time it's a yeah.
Yeah.
It gets kind of old, you know, talking about the same stuff. Not that you talk about the exact same stuff. We'll get into all the stuff you have going on, because you got a lot of stuff going on, especially right now.
Oh, yes.
But before we even get started with that, I know that you dabble in, not just dabble, but you're dang good at a lot of different fantasy sports. What fantasy sports do you focus on?
So more recently, it's now just football and baseball. The site has become bigger and bigger, and so my time has been pulled away. And football has become a 365 gig, you know, itself. Yeah. To where when I started this, I mean, there was an off season, right? It was like, I got a couple months, I could focus on basketball. So I used to be really, really good at fantasy basketball, but I can't even get into it anymore. But yeah, so it's mainly football and baseball, but the site, Fantasy Six Pack, we do basketball, baseball, hockey, DFS golf. We do, you know, a lot of other things. We mix in the idea of the site was we were supposed to do six sports. It wasn't just a six pack of beer, although that kind of was part of the name. But the six of six sports was supposed to be kind of the thing. It's been a struggle to keep the six going, but we try to find a way. So there you go.
I was going to ask you about the origin of the name, but with all the fantasy sports, is there one that you started playing first?
It was football.
Okay.
So that was actually in college. I had a friend hit me up and he's like, hey, we're going to do this thing called fantasy football. And I was like, sure. And the very first league we did was an auto draft league. I think my team ended up drafting like Peyton Manning and like Sean Alexander the first year. I got second place. I mean, it was just totally random. I had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. But I got hooked immediately. And then, you know, picked up basketball and baseball along the way. I actually fell in love most with basketball first. Like, that was the one that really got me in. Probably because I had a lot more success with basketball than I did with football and baseball right away. But that was the one that got me. And then basketball just sort of drifted away, unfortunately. And now it's football and baseball primarily for me.
So when you were growing up, were you a fan of sports? Was there a certain team or a player that you were a big fan of?
Yeah, so I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, just outside of D.C. in Virginia. And my parents had season tickets passed down from my dad's parents to go see the then Washington Redskins. And so I got hooked into watching the Washington Redskins. And then there were no Nationals, so Baltimore Orioles were my team. You know, if you're not, nobody can see this, but there's a bunch of like Orioles bobbleheads behind me. If you see my podcast, you see those. But those were the two big sports. You know, I followed a little bit of the Caps, and you know, it was the Bullets, now the Wizards. But the Redskins were the big team, and you know, they were actually good when I was growing up. Now they're atrocious and just a train wreck. So it is what it is. But that's the big team. I don't really follow them much anymore. It's not so much that it's because fantasy took over, although that's a little part of it. But it's more, I'm praying that Dan Snyder actually sells this team so that I can root for him again. But until then, I don't like them. But yes, that's what it was. It was more just everything Redskins, and you know, I'd go to all the games, probably heard lots of words when I was 7 years old that I probably shouldn't have.
Probably.
My podcast has a few chosen words said in it a lot of times.
And that's cool with me. Same here. Well, another thing that's the same is I don't really like them either because I'm a Cowboys fan. Oh, and so, yeah. Wah, wah. But, you know, it's cool. It's cool. All love.
We can be friends.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Yeah. We can still be friends. It's fine. So when you were growing up, did you have a career path that you wanted to go down or something that you wanted to be when you got older?
When I was little, I naturally loved playing sports. I wanted to be a professional sports athlete, but I was the little guy and, you know, there's no chance. So I fell in love with computers. I started dabbling with just tinkering with them and learning little code and programming and just, you know, simple things like how to do PowerPoint and all this kind of stuff. Like everything computers just sort of interested me. And so I ended up doing that. I ended up going down the road of going to school for, it was called business information technology. So it was like a business focused degree, but using computers and databases and all that kind of stuff. And just learning how to use them and build applications and being like a project manager type of thing. And so that's what I did. I did a little bit of programming and project management and all that stuff in throughout my career. And it's funny, like now that I look back at how I like kind of run the site, if you want to say that, I mean, I guess I do, you know, and some of the things that I do, like I try to, but a much smaller degree because, you know, I don't have true employees, right? I try to like project manage it and really plan things out. And I feel like that's where a lot of the success, you know, what little of it there is, success of the site, you know, kind of stems from is just the organization that I learned from going through all of that and that career path that I took for so long.
Let's talk about the site because that the backstory getting to it, how did you decide that was what you wanted to put out?
Yeah, funny story. So when I was playing just fantasy sports with now my leagues are predominantly industry guys or, you know, sharks, if you want to call them that, you know, people that are probably way better than me at this point, you know, in some of these leagues. And so, but back in, you know, college and just post college, it was just me and my buddies playing. I would dominate them. And I mean, like, I'm not saying that just to like say that, like, I would primarily win every single league that we were in. And they, you know, me and my buddies were having a, you know, few beers one night, and they were joking with me. They're like, you should start a site. You know, we were watching like ESPN and or something like that. And I think, you know, Matthew Berry or somebody came on TV or something. And they're like, man, you should start a site. And like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I woke up the next morning. And I was like, huh, I think I will. And so even funnier, to circle back to one of the first things I said already, was that very first football league that I got second place. I knew the guy that I got first, that I lost to in the finals still. And he was huge into fantasy. We were in like almost every single league together still. And he was always, you know, very competitive with me. And I was like, hey, let's start a site. Like, we'll just write some articles, we'll do some rankings, we'll just have fun with it, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, sure. Actually, the name of the site was his idea.
Oh.
Yeah.
Credit where like, credit's due, hey.
Yeah. And I'm actually still in leagues with him. And I'm always like, hey, you want to come back and write? Like, we're doing pretty good. He's yeah, like, right? No, I'm fine. But, yeah, his name's Garrick. And, you know, the name was fantastic. All of a sudden, he was just like, what about Fantasy Six-Pack? And I was like, What? And he's like, yeah, well, I mean, we both like beer. So, like, we could just kind of spin it and say, like, it's six sports, but also it's, you know, we like beer, so six pack. And I was like, I like it. So we went with it. And, you know, it was kind of off and on at first. Like, this started back in, I want to say, I don't even totally remember the first day. Like, I don't know if you remember this old site. It was like a Google blog called Blogger.
Blogspot
or whatever it was.
Yeah. Both, I think it was like iteration.
I think it flip-flopped, yeah. So that's what it was on. And I mean, it was literally just, we were winging it. We had no idea what we were doing. We just went on there and I was like, you know, we should probably do some rankings, maybe some like waiver wire articles, you know, the same typical stuff that, you know, well, back then in 2010, there was like a dozen sites, it felt like. There wasn't the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sites that you get now. And there wasn't like the analytical deep dive articles that you get now. Like, that's what there was. You know, like, you went on the ESPN, you were like, what do they do? Oh, all right, I can do that. You know, so that's what we did. And, you know, eventually he kind of fizzled out. He was like, you know, I'm too busy, I can't do it. And I was trying to keep it going myself. There was like a whole year where I didn't write, I think in like 2013 or 2014. And then I just kind of picked it back up, but it was very hit or miss. But we were also trying to do all the sports ourselves. It was just him and me doing six different sports, six different waiver wire articles every single week and rankings and all that stuff. And that was a grind. And I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing this for anymore. And then the reason why I ended up kind of expanding and getting to where it is today, like the boom came from, I was trying to do rankings and trying to keep them updated. And it was hard, like just doing like an HTML table every single week and then being like, oh, this guy got hurt, I need to go back and like recopy in the HTML table. And it was a pain in the butt, really it was. And so I stumbled upon Fantasy Pros. And I was like, oh, I see these sites that are posting Fantasy Pros, like this widget. And I was like, so I emailed him and was like, hey, can I just use that? I don't need to be a part of your, you know, I'm looking at the names that are like associated with, you know, at the ECR, the expert consensus rankings back then. And you're looking at like all the big wigs, all the guys from CBS and Yahoo and all these guys. And I was like, okay, look, I get it. You guys have no idea who I am, but can I just use like the back end and then like use your widget so that I can update rankings on my site? And they let me do it. And then a couple of years later, they expanded out their ECR and like let guys like me in. And I finished, I want to say in 20, oh, what year was it now? It was 2014. Wow, maybe it was a lot earlier than I thought it was. I finished top five in the draft rankings that season.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, like, I'm at work, and I open up my email, and I just go, like, I was just speechless. And everybody's like, what is wrong? And I was like, I can't believe it. And so like that sort of just was like, oh, I can actually do this. And it was like, okay, this works. So yeah, I just started like doing it. And then, you know, just, it was still just like me and like one other guy. Like I ended up picking up like one other person here and there, but it was really just me trying to like still just grind through it. And it really wasn't that like big. I did a couple site redesigns to try to make things a little more like fancy looking. And then, I got this I don't know if it was like a tweet or an email, but this site called, I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It was called Skillzone or something like that. It was like this random, like it was like DFS, but not. So you would write or not write, but you would draft a weekly team against 9 computer players.
Oh,
and then you would compete against them for like the league prize, but then your score would also go up against everybody else doing the exact same thing, and they would give out like $100 every week to like the weekly winner for free, by the way.
Wow.
So this concept was there, but they wanted writers, and so they had an application go out, or like an advertisement go out, for submit an application to be a writer, need give us a writing sample. And the guy named Dave Ganos was like the guy who did it. And I don't know if you are familiar with the name, but he currently writes for The Athletic. He used to be part of like the CBS crew, and I think he was Roto Experts also, like back when that was around.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so he's like OG type guy. Like he's like one of the old school crew. And so I knew the name and was like, okay, cool, I'll do it. Got it. And they only wanted to write like 2 articles a year. So I did my 2. And then that whole thing died because it was clearly just not sustainable. Like they're giving away hundreds of dollars every week for nothing. Like it didn't really make any sense. I don't really know exactly what they thought it was going to be, but it clearly didn't pan out. So that thing died, but Dave started up his own site called So-Called Fantasy Experts, along with a guy named Doug Anderson, who is now a part of Fantrax HQ. And they reached out to me because they remembered me from the Skillzone thing. And I got a writing job with them. So I was doing that at the same time as trying to run and maintain Fantasy Six Pack. And Fantasy Six Pack was still like growing, but we were still like nobody's. I mean, this was like 2017, 2018. I mean, we were nothing. We were getting like maybe 1,000 page views a month. It was just like, okay, let me see if I can go like out here and whatever. But I learned an absolute crap load from them, writing for them. The site just didn't work out for various reasons, unfortunately. But you know, I started doing more consistently well in those Fantasy Pros accuracy challenges and things like that, to the point where I got top 5 in the in season accuracy 2 seasons in a row in 2019 and 2020. Yeah, that's right. And then it's a lot happens, right?
Yeah.
It goes quick.
Yeah, so, I'm surprised you have so much in your head. Jeez, I couldn't even.
In 2019 and 2020, and then so that really like, that's really what exploded the site. I went from like 2,000 Twitter followers the beginning of the 2019 season to 12,000 Twitter followers. Actually, that season it was 10,000, and then the next season, because I did well again, I gained an extra like 2,500. So it is, I like gained 10,000 Twitter followers in 2 years, and I've gained probably 0 cents, but no. I have no idea what I'm not a Twitter guy. Like
I don't know when I followed you, if it, but I did. So
I probably lost a lot of the other people and then like gained all the industry friends that I've met. So like it's sort of just balanced out, but I'm not, I get it. I'm not a big like Twitter guy. Like I'm not out there, you know, doing the, you know, the random videos or, you know, that's not my personality. I can get on there and, you know, get funny every now and then, but it's just not, I guess it's not consistent enough. And, you know, I kind of use it as more like an advertisement platform, which I get is boring. So nobody random is going to follow me for that.
Yeah.
But you know, they followed me. They followed me for the accuracy, you know, results. And so, but that, and that started, like, people were like hitting me up left and right, like, hey, we want to write for you. And I went from, at that point, like maybe a dozen writers to, I now have over 60 writers combined between all the four sports, or six sports, if we actually have six. But it's gotten bigger. And it has turned into kind of my job, only because I've, you know, my wife does very well for herself. And so I stay home, do the whole house dad, you know, watch the kids thing. And the idea at first was I'm going to expand the site, but I stopped working in December of 2019. And then what happened in March of 2020, everybody?
Yeah.
So my kids were home all day. No more preschool, no more kindergarten. It was like they're home all day. So there went that. So the site was just in like maintenance mode for a while. It was just kind of like, we're going to churn out what we know. Like, I can't do anything. But since then, since everybody's gone back, we're actually like, we're trying to build tools and things like that. So all the stuff that I wanted to do 2 years ago is finally happening. Well, 3 years ago now is finally happening. But it's turned into to quite the effort and the time. It is very time consuming, but I love it at the same time. You know, I'm a very data driven guy. So like anything I can do to like, It teaches myself when I build these tools. Like, I learn things not just from learning how to build a tool, but from like looking at the data and analyzing the data. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, things like that. And just, you know, from having the computer background too, like trying to, you know, again, to kind of circle back what I was saying before, is I was always a computer guy, and like learning new tips and tricks, you know, of, you know, even just like how to use Excel better to like analyze data and bring it all in and compare it all and stuff like that. Like, that's what I've been doing lately. Is it's fascinating to me. And so like that stuff, like I can sit down here and do it for hours, and I'll lose like a whole day, and almost I'm like, oh, I gotta go get my kids off the bus. How about that? Like, that's what happens to me. And so that's kind of the origin story, to kind of where it is now. I know that was kind of long, but
no, I like it.
It's morphed. Like, it never started out as like, hey, this is gonna be like my full time, you know. It was a joke, like that night that we were all drinking a little beer, like, oh, I could be Matthew Perry. Like, no. Like, I'm gonna start a site and ESPN's gonna hire me. No, they're not. Let's get real. But you know,
let's get real. Hey.
You did it.
All right.
But that could be like a sound drop from now on.
Right. I mean, I'm marking it right now.
But yeah, I mean, that was kind of the joke, but it kind of turned into something else, to where it's like, you know, I can build it my own way and have fun with it. But also, you know, it's you know, it hasn't made a ton of money, but like, you know, I'm able to pay some of the writers and things like that, keep them around, keep them happy. You know, it's not life changing money, but it's, hey, go take your wife out for a nice dinner, or, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend out for like a nice dinner. And now, like, here, you know, here's whatever. That's kind of what it is. And I feel like that's cool, like, be able to do stuff like that for people. And that's what I do.
Yeah. And as a former writer, it's always nice to have even just a little extra money. So yeah, I'm sure they appreciate that. Hey y'all, it's Casey Kasem, jumping in real quick to say thanks so much for listening to this episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem. If you like this episode, you'll probably enjoy episode 44 with JJ Zacharyson, episode 18 with Mike Wright, episode 34 with Sam Holt, episode 59 with Jody Smith. Okay, probably all of the episodes are worth listening to, but you get it. So when you're done listening to this episode, go listen to another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem. It's because of your support that this show continues to grow. And now, back to the episode. But how did you get started with the writing thing? Like, had you done any writing before that, or how did you, you know, go about that?
So yeah, writing, my strong subjects in school, I was an, you know, engineering kind of guy, it was computers, was definitely not writing, was not reading, writing, you know. I was the type of person who I'm the type of guy who opens up a website, skims it as much as I possibly can to get all the information, which never works, clearly. But, you know, that's my thing. I'm not a big reader. My writing, especially when I first started, was awful. And it didn't really start getting better until I kind of reconnected with my now podcast co-host, AJ Applegarth. I moved up to Maryland to live with my now wife, and he lived, you know, I didn't know anybody up here, and he lived nearby. And so I just like reached out to him. I knew him from college, but it wasn't like a close friend. He was like a mutual friend. So then, you know, I found out he was super into fantasy sports. Well, I kind of knew that from the past, but then like kind of reconnected and remembered that. And I was like, hey, I've got this site. You interested in like helping out? He's like, yeah, sure. So then he's like reading my stuff, and he's like, I mean, flat out told me, he's like, this sucks. And I was like, okay. I mean, I kind of knew it, but he taught me a ton. He would edit my articles back then, and he taught me a ton. So my writing has come a long way. If anybody ever finds my old stuff, I'm like embarrassed that it's actually probably still out there somewhere. I would hope that Blogger like has burned whatever server it was on, because I never want to see it again. But it's bad. So, you know, my writing is not my strong suit. It still really isn't. I write very casual. I write very kind of like I'm just talking to a best friend, right? That's kind of the way I go about it. And I do that for a couple of reasons. One, I'm not a strong writer, so it kind of makes it a little easier for me just to be like conversational, friendly, you know, loose, whatever with the style. But also like, and I go back to this because, you know, Matthew Berry was like the king back then, right? You know, when I started going, like, he was the guy. You know, the beginning of his articles were like stories. I don't know if you remember those back
yes.
then. Like,
yes.
And they were hilarious. And I'm like, I can't do that, but I can make it, you know, just if nobody minds, I can just write casual and like I'm just, you know, meeting you at a restaurant or meeting you at a bar. And like, we're just like, hey, do you see that? You see that play over there? That was cool. You know, like that's kind of how I wanted to go about it. And I still kind of write that way. I've learned a little more of the technical side of it too now, to where I incorporate a lot of that too, but I still try to keep it a little more casual. And I also think it's just a little more entertaining that way. You know, I personally cannot open up like a Washington Post or New York Times article where it's just like, duh, 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 duh. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know exactly what you mean.
It's just, it's so boring to me. And I'm like, I need a little more, what's the right word? Not conversational, but I need a little more person. I need a little more personality into the writing. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. Well, so is that why podcast, I know you're in podcasting now. Is that why you feel like comfortable doing a podcast, is because you can be conversational and you don't have to put words down on?
I think when I first did it, it was more of like, hey, we should just start a podcast. Like I see people doing it. We should probably join in on this craze. Why not? You know, if we want to be something, we should probably do a podcast. And then as I started doing it, I was writing a lot more back then. But as I started doing it and getting more serious into it and trying to make the podcast actually good and you know, buying fancy equipment, you know, then it did kind of turn into this became a little bit more of my interest. And probably for a lot of the reasons why you just said, because I can just be conversational. I can be, you know, it's just fun, you know, to talk. And yes, there's planning behind it. And so that takes time. So that takes away from a little bit of the writing that I do. But, you know, it's finding guests. It's making graphics. It's making, you know, slideshows. It's making backgrounds. It's making thumbnails, all that kind of good stuff. So that takes time. So that's why I don't write as much, plus all the back end stuff for the site. But yes, probably the number one reason is just that it really is much more favorable to my style of getting my message across. You know, I can have fun and, you know, we can joke around at the same, like, you know, have laughs on the show, but also still teach people, inform them of things at the same time. So that's, I prefer that.
So for people who don't know about the podcast or what it is exactly, can you explain kind of what the podcast is all about?
Yeah. So it's called, I guess if you want to call it the flagship show, just because it was the only one back then and, you know, it was kind of easy named, the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. It's almost never an hour. It's usually more, but it's just fun to call it that anyway. And it's me and AJ. And the reason why I picked AJ is, you know, because I knew him, and to where, as anybody has watched the show, and he knows this, so, like, I'm not going to offend him. He's not the most, like, fantasy, like, in-the-weeds type guy. He doesn't study it as much as say, I do, or you do, or, you know, anybody, you know, like, who writes for multiple sites. Now, he's dabbled in writing with us, but it just ultimately really hasn't worked out for him. But the reason why I wanted to do the podcast with him, and then I've really kept him around, is just the chemistry we have. And it's just fun. It's more entertaining. And I do know that with podcasting, right, it's not just, hey, here's all these stats and here's why you should pick them up. Well, that's boring. Anybody can do that, right?
Right.
But you got to make it entertaining. You got to want people to watch. People need to want to watch it. Almost the same reason people need to want to read it. So he's my reason why people, and he keeps it entertaining for me. But we do, we focus primarily on football and baseball. Right now we're doing baseball stuff as the season is approaching. And we will switch to football around the midsummer. We'll sprinkle in some baseball talk if something like really big happens. But at that point, football just kind of takes over and you kind of have to. You got to prep for this, you know, got to prep for the season, you know, starting in like mid-July probably. And so it's, you know, we usually go through like, you know, position previews and all that kind of stuff. And during the season, we kind of cover the weeks and, you know, start sits and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we usually try to have some pretty good guests on. I'm fairly sure you've been one before. So,
yeah.
So yeah, we usually try to get a lot of different people on to sound smarter than us sometimes, you know, most of the time actually, but it's a good time. We really enjoy it. It's on pretty much every platform you can think of, but YouTube is where you should probably watch because watching us just, you know, we sit back, we drink a beer, the six pack hour, right? We gotta do it. We have a beer of the week segment.
Yeah.
And so, it's just fun. It's a good. I really look forward to Thursday nights. It's Thursday nights around 9:30, depending on whenever AJ actually shows up. we've managed to realize that we should just push it to 9:30, and he's been really good with that lately. So crossing fingers, knock on wood, whatever, it stays that way. Because there were times where it was not, and like we have guests who like are kind of repetitive guests, and they always joke with him that like, oh, okay, yeah, we know. He's not going to be on time, so they'll show up like a couple minutes late, and they're like, yeah, we know AJ's not here. And I'm like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Well, I listened to all my podcasts basically on Spotify, and I know that they have the video feature now where you can see the videos. So to be able to turn on your podcast and see the actual video content as well is pretty cool. Like, that was probably one of the first podcasts that I've seen that actually – happen with on Spotify, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we did it. Anchor was just, you know, we did it. I started uploading the video like maybe a year or so ago through Anchor is how I do it, and then Anchor sends it to everything. But yeah, Spotify picked up the video content. I stopped doing the video content for a little bit because it was really tough to like incorporate their like automated ads or whatever for a little bit during the video. They've fixed that. So I've gone back to the video the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I always thought that was kind of cool. Cause I mean, we do the video so that it gets picked up on YouTube and, you know, we go live on YouTube and, you know, but being able to see the video on through the Spotify player is really cool too.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And yeah, I use Anchor as well, and I know it just switched over and all that fun stuff. So.
That confused the living crap out of me. I'm not going to lie.
You're like, what happened? What is this app? Where did my...
It gave me four different login options. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know which one to use.
Yeah. Yeah.
I failed three times and got it right on the fourth try. And I was like, sweet, I'm in. Hopefully I'll remember next week.
Yeah, oh man, I know. I was like, what is that? Stop changing things on me. But I already thought the Anchor logo looked stupid once they changed that. So then I was like, okay, and now it's a purple Spotify logo, and here we are. And we're talking about where we upload our podcasts, but I don't think I've ever talked about that on the show, like the fact that you have to actually go in and figure out how you're going to distribute your podcast to all the different areas.
Yeah, the podcasting stuff to me was like a mind-blowing experience, because I was like, yeah, we're going to do a podcast. And then I was like, wait, what do I do with it? You know, the first it was this audio. I mean, this thing started out as just like me and AJ on, I don't even remember what we were using. We were using Google Meet. Google Hangouts
back before
they like put the restrictions on. And then, man, trying to get a guest on there was horrible. And then I don't even remember how we, that's what it was. I mean, it's been a while since we've done this podcast, now that I'm thinking about it. So when we first started, one of my original like writers outside of like my friends was this guy, Richard Seville, and he still writes for us. He's awesome. He lives actually over in the UK. No idea how he found me, but he just reached out and was like, hey, you want some help? And I was like, sure. But he's cool. He like randomly does like, we'll come up with these like ideas, and you're like, okay, all right, we'll run with it. He created his own little mini player, and he would like store our audio on a server somewhere, and then we could like embed the player into our website. So that's how we did it at first. And then I figured out like other ways to like start broadcasting it. We got it on YouTube, but we didn't have the video, so we would just like create a video with like a still image, and I was like, nobody's watching these, they're boring. But that was my way. And then I ran into, I think it was Jeff Lambert at some point, and met him, and he started teaching me things about like, hey, use Anchor and all this stuff. And so it just morphed over time. I mean, we were using Audacity to record Hangouts.
Oh, well, that's what I used to edit, not to record. I can't even imagine doing that.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you had to there was another plugin too that would like take the audio feed. It was nuts.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once the site, you know, made a few bucks, I'm like, and I saw people were like inviting me on a podcast on StreamYard. I looked over at Keith and was like, yeah, Keith, by the way, we're paying for StreamYard.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. By the way, I feel like a total jerk. Probably one of the biggest things that actually made the site grow, and I need to go back to this because I got to give him super credit for this, is Keith Lott. When I was kind of mixed in with so-called fantasy experts, Dave Ganos got like a retweet group together. I despise those, but back then they were new and everybody was like, ah, let's do this. It's awesome. It's good work. No, they don't, guys. Please just stop them, please. But Keith and I were in this group, and he had like three or four other of us, and we would all like retweet our stuff. And after a while, the whole thing fizzled out, and I went back to doing Fantasy Six Pack full time. He had his own site called We Talk Fantasy Sports. He just emailed me out of the blue one day and was like, hey, you know, you've got your thing. I've got my thing. They're kind of similar. What do you think about just merging? And I was like, well, wait, what does that mean? Like, neither one of us make any money. How did we merge? And he's just like, so we kind of like worked through the details, and eventually, like, you know, he came over to my site, and then we kind of divvied up things. But it has been a blessing to have somebody else kind of help run the behind the scenes stuff. You know, he's really good with like social media and like things that I wasn't good at, he was good at, and things that I'm good at, he's not so good at. And so it just was like a perfect marriage of skill sets. And we both wanted to make it big. We never really like had a goal in mind. It was just like, let's just see where it takes us. And it's been great. And I had Keith never reached out to me, I would not be in this position with this site to where I am today. So, Keith is awesome. So I'm so grateful he reached out. Yeah.
I didn't know that I could get nostalgic for fantasy football, like thinking about the retweet group or chats and listening to podcasts on websites. Like, I remember doing that and being like, okay, I'm going to do this because I want to listen to it, but it's very inconvenient for me.
Yes.
So, good times. Well, with writers getting, you said that you started off with just like a handful of writers and then grew, and you guys are like 60 or whatever around that. How do people come to you, or how do you go about getting people on board your team?
Yeah. So in the beginning, like I said, it was really me and then my friend Garrick trickled off in the first like year or two, and it was just me. And then, you know, the site really wasn't a site. It was still Blogspot or whatever it was, Blogger. And it was kind of whatever, right? And then I was like, you know what? I'm still having fun with this. Let's do this. So I actually made a website. And I had a friend who helped me build a website. And I don't even honestly remember how the first few people like reached out to me. I didn't have like an application. I wasn't like searching for writers. It was just a couple people were like, hey, I like your site. I want to write fantasy sports. You know, can I write for you? And I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. Let's do this. And, you know, it was like 5-6 guys for a while. One would fall off. One would come back on. I've got a couple of them still. Richard is one. Another guy, Jonathan Chan, is still around. He's helping me more with like the management side. A few of the people came over from my contacts with that so-called fantasy expert site that kind of folded. And that kind of stuff. But it, before the boom of like I was successful with the rankings, and then Keith came on and kind of helped with the social media footprint, I couldn't tell you how I got writers. I just really don't even remember. It might have been like a DM or something. Like, it was so random. Like, I would just be like, hey, this guy wants to write, sure. Now we have like an application, people come out. Now I still have to go on and like advertise when we need writers. You know, I'm not on like jobs.com, you know, or something like that. I'm not doing that because I don't, you know, we can't, unfortunately, with the size of my site, can't pay enough to then go pay jobs.com a fee to post my application. So it's, I rely on Twitter to get my name out, people retweeting it. Reddit lets me every now and then go out there and be like, you know, I'll be like, hey, I'm offering paid positions. Are you going to let me post on your thread? And people are like, yeah. You know, they usually don't do that kind of stuff, but they let me do it now and then. So we've been able to kind of get a bigger application pool lately. So that's pretty cool. And it, especially like, you know, maybe a year or two ago when people would be like, yeah, I heard of your site, you know, and I really want to write for you. I'd be like, you heard of me?
Right?
Like, that's cool. Now, I mean, I sort of understand that people know me. I know I'm still small fish, you know, in a very large pond of fantasy world, but to just, it still baffles me when people walk up and they're like, yeah, I know Fantasy Six Pack. And you're like, that's awesome.
How do you make sure that the people that are coming on board to the site are quality people? And, you know, every now and then there's always, you know, a rotten egg, but how do you go about making sure that everybody's kind of on the same page?
It's tough. That process has been refined and probably still needs to be refined to today. So I would say up until about a year ago, if you were interested and you accepted my, you know, I kind of my terms, I have like an email that I send to you kind of laying out, here's what we expect from you, here's what you expect from us. I didn't make anybody sign a contract. I still don't. It's very just come in, here's what you get, here's what we get from you. If you're cool with that, let's do it. That's kind of what I did. And I still do that mostly. But now, because I've been going out and getting like, you know, we'll post like on Reddit or something like that and say, hey, we've got three basketball writing positions open, or four baseball positions open this year. Apply, we'll get like 30 writers that apply. And so I then email them all back and say, I want you to write me 500 words on this topic. So that's kind of like the new step that I got added just recently. So I'm at least able to find out if they can actually write.
Yeah.
The trick is, and what you, I think, are alluding to is like the bad apples or the, you know, the bad eggs is the people who get in and then they'll write like one article and then they're like, don't really want to do this.
Yeah.
This is more work this is more work than I thought. And you're like, what did you think a writing job was? Like, and it's not even a job. I ask you to write like one article a week, maybe like sometimes. Yeah. And I don't know. That baffles me. But I mean, I get it. Things come up in life and, you know, I never try to hold grudges. The people that I hold grudges to are the ones who ghost me. Those are the ones I'm like, just tell me. Because I can't do anything. I'm like, hello. We have a Slack for Fantasy Six Pack. I'll tweet them. I'll email them. Nothing. And I'm like, if you don't want to do it, like, just tell me. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm not like withholding your pay. There is no pay. Like, like okay. It's just funny. I don't understand why that happens far more often than you think it would. And I always wonder if that happens to other bigger sites, like a Fantasy Alarm or something like that. Does that happen to them? Or because they get guys who have a reputation in the industry, maybe it doesn't, you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't know. Because I was on with the Fantasy Footballers.
I'm sure it doesn't happen to them.
No, I don't think that would be a thing. Like, they said that they, like, really made sure that, you know, that the people, they looked at their Twitter timelines and made sure that they were, you know,
I probably need to. Like, so the other thing is, like, I mean, I could do the same thing, but, like, people that I would be bringing on probably have 25 followers. It's like, they're friends.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, what am I looking at? You know, I'm mm-hmm. I realize the, you know, I'm not going to bring in people like a Troy King at this point, right? And that name popped in my head because I just listened to his episode recently, too. But, like, awesome. I wouldn't be able to get, like, a Troy King or like in baseball, like a Matt Williams or something like that. Like, these guys are notable. They are well known in the industry. You know, they're not like, obviously, they're not the Matthew Berrys or the Brad Evans and stuff like that. Like, they're not that level, but they're very well known. They're established. They're respected. And I would think because they obviously have gone to very, you know, well known places, they are respected in the industry and are reliable. So, it's hard for me and any site kind of like me to get guys like that and girls like that. But I want to.
Right.
But
right.
I also get that those people are going to be able to go to like a Fantasy Alarm who can pay what? Triple what I can. And so I understand that. So it's hard. Like, how much vetting can I do before it just becomes like, there's really nothing there. It's like, if they can actually write a paragraph that makes sense, I have to give them a shot and see if it works. And
right.
Luckily for me lately, it's been better than it, you know, better than it has not been. But there was a time where it was just like, I brought on like four football writers one year and I think three of them ghosted me like a week before the season. And I'm going like, what do I do now? It was like, okay, great, guys, thanks. I never understood that, and I still, again, like I said, I wonder if other sites around the same, you know, level of traffic and popularity go through the same pain process of that as I do. It's just something I wonder, and I've never really talked to anybody about that before. I don't know.
Well, that would be interesting to find out. I know.
It'd
because
be a good conversation
like,
for the expo.
Let's find a little round table topic
yes. of like, you know, small to mid-level sites and just talk about the pains that we go through, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That just makes me think of like, little podcast too, like the pains that we have to go through.
I learned a lot this year. Chase from Trophy Smack, Chase Vernon, he reached out to a few of us and we're like in a little like, it's not a retweet group, But we, but we all talk about our YouTube content and like how to grow it, how to make it better. And I learned a ton from them. And, you know, we've gotten to the point where in the last year, we have built our YouTube channel in a large part because of that group and just me actually being more aware of what works and doesn't work on YouTube. I've built our followers up from like, I think we were at like 400. We are now nearing, we're at 991. We're right there.
You're like, we're, not,
yeah, but we are way behind on the watch hours. So YouTube gets you with that.
See, I don't know anything about YouTube. So it's fun to talk to people on here about YouTube. Because it's one of those things like Dynasty where I was like, I want to, but I don't. And I finally just, you know, did Dynasty and I was like, okay, cool. So I feel like maybe I would get into it, maybe, and it would be the same way. I don't know. But
I mean, you've got the setup here. You could easily upload these and I'm sure you'd get some watches. You know,
I would love to upload them, but I always tell people, yeah, I don't put that video out. I don't put the video out because yeah. I started doing, I don't know. I have this weird thing where like the first 15 episodes I didn't record video for. So now I'm like, it's not fair to them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, a lot of our first episodes, but I don't think anybody cared back then, obviously, either. If we had guests, they didn't care. But it was still just, you know, once I got to the video part of it, I wasn't even recording video back then. It was just audio. So once I got video, it was like, okay, I need somewhere to put this. And I just threw it on YouTube and just figured it out.
Boom. And StreamYard, like you brought up earlier. I mean, that makes it so much easier.
And I just go live, so that makes it even easier.
Yes.
It does it for me.
That's nice. You brought up guests. So how do you go about getting people to join your show or how do they approach you? How does that go?
I just ask. And I was very, very surprised at how many people, especially some pretty big names, I mean, will just be like, yeah, sure, I'll come on. And I'm like, really? I mean, like, when Bob Harris first told me he was going to come on, I was like, whoa. Like, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
That blew my mind, you know. You know, people that I've never really interacted with on Twitter, I'll just DM them, you know, and if they respond, they respond. And most of them do. You know, I've had Howard Bender from Fantasy Alarm. I just randomly like reached out to him and it was just like, cool. Like he's awesome. He's come on so many times. He'll come on once for the fantasy baseball draft shows, once for the fantasy football draft shows. So two times a year, he's phenomenal. Like, everybody is so nice. I mean, obviously, not everybody, but most people are very, very nice and very, you know, willing to help out, you know, and that's the cool thing about this industry is everybody, despite us, you know, we're all competing, I guess, right? You know, we're all competition.
Right.
We're all doing the same thing. Like, let's be real. Like, everybody is just like, enjoys it and wants to come on these shows and just talk. And I would do more of them if I could, but I mean, I do need to spend time with my wife every now and then.
Right.
So, you know, I try not to do it every night of the week, but I go on as many as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I could go on more, but you know,
I'm home during the day. So if people record during the day, hit me
there
up.
There you go. See, I was like, just put out a tweet earlier. Cause I was like, I don't ever record. I recorded on Saturday for the first time. And I was like, this is so great. I'm like relaxed. I'm like, it's not the end of the day where I'm like, ugh, I just want to go to sleep. So
yeah, the weekends are near impossible for me because I've got kids.
Yep. And that's
and
the
so
big reason I don't
running
ask
around
people.
And yeah. I'm going to soccer games or whatever. And so the weekends are just impossible. I mean, I make it work for like every now and then I'll just be like, hey, I need an hour, please just go play video games upstairs, leave me alone or something. And you know, it can happen, but it's got to be pretty infrequent. It's big things like the Scott Fish Pod-a-thon type of thing to where like those are on Saturdays mostly. And it's just like, okay, I'm doing this because it's A, for a good cause. There's a lot, you know, it helps get the name out, all this kind of stuff. And so I just those are the type of things that I can get away with. But it,
yeah,
just like, hey, my, you know, this guy over here that runs this random site, he wants me to do a podcast at, you know, Saturday at 2 p.m. Can we do it? No, we have plans. But I really want to do this podcast. No, it's not going to fly. So,
no, I learned the hard way on that. I'm like, when do you have Pilates? But so, yeah, scheduling, I think, is something that people don't really take into consideration, or at least I didn't when I started a podcast. I didn't realize it's a thing where you have to work around other people's schedules and they have to work around yours. So how do you find a way to balance it and get everything, you know, at least somewhat smooth?
Yeah. So for us, the schedule sort of got set for us, both me and AJ is what I mean by us, just from our own personal life. Mm-hmm. We're both married, both have kids. And so we both have to make sure the kids are, you know, to make it go as smooth as possible, the kids need to be in bed. So same thing I told you, like, hey, you were, if they, I think at first you asked me if I could do this at like 7, 7:30 and I was like, yeah, that's like right after dinner. I don't think that's going to work. Like,
I unfortunately
like I can do 8:30 at the earliest. I can sometimes be done then, but 9 is usually safe for me. And so that's what me and AJ both do. It's 9 is, it was supposed to be safe, but he was never on time. So now it's 9:30. And so that's kind of like, that's what it turned out to be. So our schedule got set kind of because of us. Now I've done some shorter videos. I wouldn't call them true podcasts during the day. If somebody has the free time, or just for extra content on YouTube, or somebody hits me up and is like, yeah, we record at 3 p.m. on Tuesdays. And I'm like, yeah, I'm available. Why not? Like, because I'm home.
Yeah.
And so that goes with the flexibility of me being at home now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have that before. I mean, I had a 9-to-5 job, and so is AJ. And so our schedule has got kind of set the way we did. So we, you know, we unfortunately are stuck. Not stuck, but we have a limited guest book that can, because it's only people who can come at that time.
Right.
And I've tried to get other people on, like Jeff Ratcliffe. He was going to come on, but he cannot make that time work. He lives on the West Coast, so that's 6:30 his time. He's got kids and a family.
Yep.
It just doesn't work for him.
Yeah.
So he wanted to do earlier in the day. And it just unfortunately couldn't work. And Jeff's awesome. You know, I've talked to him both years. I've been at the expo, and you know, he's really kind of helped guide me into the, you know, the monetization side of things, and really push me in that direction. He's awesome, and he's really a smart guy when it comes to all this. And you know, obviously, we know him from finishing number one a couple of years ago in the football rankings himself. So I really wanted him to come on. It just unfortunately didn't work. So sometimes our schedule backfires. Luckily, most of the times not. People are willing to, you know, make 9 o'clock work, you know. So
yeah, I get okay. That see, I don't have kids, so I get off of work, you know, I have the regular 9-to-5 job, and then you get home and I'm like, okay, I'm at like 15 minutes to kind of like get all my stuff, you know, and then I just want to do it and then go
and
to
then
sleep.
Relax.
You know,
yeah,
you know,
no.
Just relax. Not, maybe not go to sleep. I slept like shit last night, so that's why I said that. No, I try to do it like you were talking about your wife. I try to do it so that I'm not interfering with, you know, the time that I get to spend with her and all that. And so like she's like, okay, give me your schedule and let me know. And then I'll try to, you know, let you know if that's cool. Nah. But yeah, that nobody thinks about time zones. Well, I didn't think about time zones.
It's something that has become more present in my head. And also because we run a big fantasy baseball league with like 132, like, you know, it's super mini. He's got fishbowl, but for baseball, I guess it's 132. He's got what, 3,000? So super mini fantasy baseball league. But when the first year I did it, I just randomly put people in divisions and didn't think about anything. This year, but like people were timing out left and right because you had a bunch of people on the East Coast and a bunch of people on the West Coast all in the same division, and it just didn't work. And so I tried, I actually added to the application this year, what time zone do you live in? And I tried to pair people up. And so it really has helped.
Yeah.
It's not perfect because, you know, you just get people that just slow drafts or slow drafts and they're slow. It is what it is. But it has really made a difference this year. And so it is a big thing now to where when I say times, and I think even on our conversation, I was like, can we do 9 p.m. Eastern time? Because I don't know where you live. Like, I just.
Yeah. I'm in Dallas. So, I mean.
Yeah. You know, but again, like, if I say 9, you don't know.
And I don't know. I had to confirm last weekend with somebody because I was talking to him. I thought, you know, but I only central one time. And so the rest of the time he's thinking because. Yes. Obviously, Eastern is the one everybody always wants to default to. So
that's where I live. So I'm happy with that. Yeah. But I still want to make sure because I, you know, again, my podcast producer, he just kind of sits behind the scenes on StreamYard and it helps push all the buttons and makes all the stuff flash on the screen. And it's great. It just helps us out a ton. But he's Central Time Zone. And so, like, we're always like, it's 9:30 Eastern time. It's 9 this Eastern time. It's we need to do this Eastern time. Like, we have to make sure. And so that's really been drilled into my head. But again, like, that was something that just probably a year ago, I never would have even considered being like, it's Eastern time. We're doing Eastern time. Like, that's just what I default to. And everybody else has to convert. Sorry.
So I guess it's a good thing that you have a co-host that is also in the same
Eastern
time.
Yeah. He lives pretty close by. That'll be it does help that we're on the same time zone. Doesn't help that he's like just notoriously late to everything.
And I can't win them all though, you know.
Nah, it's okay. No.
Well, okay.
It's a little joke of the show. It's fine.
I want to talk about rankings because that is a big part of your origin story and everything is rankings. When you first decided to start putting out rankings, like, how did your mind have to go about what you were doing? Like, where did you start? What were you thinking?
I mean, I did rankings with that original site. I don't remember what I was thinking back in 2010. I mean, I probably looked at a lot of other sites and was like, these look all right. Like, this makes sense. And, you know, I'd move people around, you know, kind of thing. I'd just wing it. Now, you know, it is morphed into a process. There's projections involved. There's gut feeling involved. There's research involved. There's Q&A involved. You know, I do the whole process and I've talked with guys who do similar things to me. And then you go look at other people's rankings and you're like, am I way off? Cause like, you don't want to miss something. Cause like, if you're like 10 ranking positions off on a running back, then you look at it and you go, well, wait, why am I that different? And so it makes you think, not that you're definitely going to change, but it makes you go back and do a little bit of extra research. And so that's kind of the process. So it has morphed into this process now where, you know, I bring in data from all these different places and it gives me this huge spreadsheet and I can kind of go, okay, boom, here's my rankings. It's not quick, but, you know, can't go through all of it. It would take another 3 hours to probably explain it all, but it all kind of works all together to get me to a point where this is my rankings for the week or the season.
Maybe we'll do like a bonus episode where you spend 3 hours explaining it, and then if people want to listen, they can.
Asleep. Just show me the rankings, Joe. We don't care.
Well, if history's taught me anything about the rankings, like, you don't need to second guess yourself because no big deal. You're kind of a big deal. I know you brought it up about feeling good about seeing that for the first time, that your rankings were in the top 5. And like, how... I know you kind of described it, but seeing yourself and then to see it continue, how does that feel?
That very first year, I got number 5. And, you know, I forget all the names that were up there, but I do remember, like, Jake Seeley and John Paulson from 444. I mean, these were guys that, I mean, clearly, before I was really good at rankings, I'm literally looking at theirs before I set my lineup going like, am I any good? Do they do the same thing I do? Can I set like, I mean, like, they're guys that I looked up to, and like their rankings were always phenomenal and still are phenomenal. I don't want to say were, but they're not really part of the ECR. John isn't anymore, unfortunately. And Jake sort of pulled out halfway through the season to use another widget tool, so he didn't really finish. But they're still phenomenal. There were other guys that were always up there that also aren't part of the ECR anymore. But when I saw my name mixed in with the people that I continuously saw year after year finish in the top 10, I just was like, my jaw dropped. You know, it was that very, it was literally week one of the 2019 season. I'm out to dinner with my wife and my kids. We went to, like, back when Wegmans had their, like, bar, their food bar. And we just, like, got the food. It was like a little buffet thing. You make your thing. You go upstairs and eat. My phone just starts going bzz, 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 bzz. And I'm like, what is happening? And my wife's like, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. And I look down. And it's like Twitter follower, Twitter follower, Twitter follower. Like, constantly. And I'm like, what is happening? And I finally found the tweet. Fantasy Pros, as you probably know, like, tweets out the top 10 for the week.
Yeah.
I finished, like, number 5 that week. And everybody's like, everybody starts following me. I had to mute my Twitter notifications.
That's crazy. Because
it was insane. I was like, this is nuts. And I actually stayed in the top 10 that entire season and finally finished number 5. And I still, like, that initial year that it happened was like, holy crap, this is amazing. Like, okay, that worked. No idea if I'll ever repeat that again. That might have just been dumb luck. The next season, I got number 3, and I was like, holy cow. Now, since then, you know, I'm not blaming it on this. I've finished outside of the top 10. I think I was like 16 this year. I was like 23 the year before. Not horrible, especially when you consider that the Fantasy Pros ECR, like the people, the number of experts, I'm doing air quotes, experts, I hate that term, but that's what they use, has multiplied. So yeah, the very first year I did it, it was like 130. Second year I got pretty well, it was like 140 something, maybe 150. The very next year was like 170 people. This year was over 200.
Wow.
So, like, really, I've been finishing in the same percentile. it is just a large group of people now. And so, you know, your odds go down for mm-hmm. one to go that high. And, you know, there's always going to be people that, I mean, there's a lot of smart people who are now joining this contest. And so it's going to be hard for even John Paulsons of back in the day. Like, if he were still in it, he pulled his rankings out. Like, I think that it would even be him tough for him to finish in the top 10 consistently. So, mm-hmm. It's the process is there. I still trust the rankings process. I still trust the actual rankings. I think other people should, but of course you're gonna, you know, you could easily lose to 190 other people and finish outside the top 10.
So, yeah.
You know, and football's a wonky sport, you know, there's a lot of people this year that didn't do as well as I would have expected, that usually are like way up top, like Pat Fitzmaurice. You know, he's a guy who, like, he was one of the ones that I finished around those 2 years, and he got number one just a couple years ago. And, you know, with everybody else in the mix now, it's even hard for a guy like him who has very well respected in the rankings game to stay up there as long as you need to be to finish in the top 10 overall.
I just wanted to say that I had to Google for like 2 seconds what Wegmans was, because I had no idea.
It's a huge grocery store, by the way.
Yeah, I figured that out.
Is it an East Coast thing only, maybe?
I don't know what it is. Is that a restaurant chain?
They used to have before pre-COVID, they used to have like a food bar. You would walk up and there's like a hot food bar and like salad bar and stuff like that. You'd make your meal, you know, in a little to-go container or whatever. And they had like seating upstairs and you would go. And so that's what it is. That's why I didn't even think of that when I said that. But no, that's where cool. I was, if no. anybody wants to know. That was the day I realized, holy crap, Twitter is crazy.
Twitter. And,
yeah. That was yeah. when my Twitter blew up. That was literally the day.
It is so, that. I mean, the origin story behind that, like, I've not had one of those on this show before where it's like these rankings and like, you know, that's what propelled my following. That's really cool.
Literally it. Because like, I, you can look at my Twitter. It's a lot of me retweeting Fantasy Six Pack, and I'll jump in every now and then, but I don't get in there and do a lot of like my own things for whatever reason. I just don't have that personality. That's why I'm not on Instagram. That's why I'm not on TikToks. You know, like I don't get on there and do the. I was never very like, it seems weird because when I'm on stuff like this, I seem like I'm outgoing. But when mm-hmm. I'm not behind a camera and behind a computer, it's funny because on Twitter, I'm behind a computer. But like, I'm just not an outgoing person like that. But if I can talk to somebody who has a similar interest, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, whatever it is, I can go crazy and just talk. But I don't share my world on Twitter. Like, that's not my thing. I'm not a very, like, hey, here's my life type of guy. Like, I'm not that generation, I guess. I don't know. I'm, like, right on the borderline, I think.
That generation.
Sometimes I wish I was, because I know for a fact that there's other people out there. Like, I'm sure you know Scott Simpson?
Yeah.
He's hilarious on Twitter. Yeah. I love it. He's awesome. He gets followers on Twitter that have nothing to do with fantasy football. And I'm like,
yeah,
kind of wish I could do stuff like that. But I, you know, and he and him will have like back and forth on Twitter, and it's funny. Me and Dave Eddy, another guy who you probably don't know him, he's more of a baseball guy, but he does football stuff for us too. You know, we go back and forth every now and then on Twitter, but I don't like organically come up with this stuff. It's usually me like responding with like a funny GIF. I'm really good at the GIF game, if that makes, you know, that I'm okay with.
There you go. I don't know. Does that make you sound old? Because I said that one time and somebody said that made me sound old. So I was like,
I don't care. I still use the laughing, the actual laughing emoji. So I don't care.
Boom. So what is your wife, prior to like really, really focusing on fantasy sports, just starting out, and then getting to where you are now, how did your wife feel about this whole journey and your fantasy life?
I think it was, you know, obviously it's a hobby. She knows I'm really into it. So she let me, you know, she lets me go about it. And I've always tiptoed the line, as I've kind of alluded to already, with like the scheduling of the podcasting and making sure that I try to do as much stuff where it's not going to interfere with time where we can spend time together. Now, of course, we have kids, so I also have to factor that in. But like with the podcast too, she now just kind of knows 9 p.m. like Thursday nights are mine. Like Thursday nights the night. Like, you know, it's moved a couple times over the years, but right now it's Thursday nights is when it's gonna have to happen. Now every now and then we gotta move it because there's just something that comes up and there's just nothing we can do about it. But she knows now it's Thursday nights. She's got a couple shows she watches that without me, and that's her night to do that. So it all kind of works out. But it's typically she kinda lets me run with it unless I think I've done a fairly good job of not letting it consume me and you know, our family time. You know, every now and then I'll have to be like, somebody needs my help. I got to go over here, or I got to make a phone call with somebody who's having trouble with something on the site, or a writer, or me and Keith got to talk for 20 minutes. Can I go talk to Keith? Like that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. I think it's just, she's been very, very just open to letting me kind of let it happen. And you know, I think if it were to turn into something, you know, where more profitable and things like that, then you know, maybe it would be a little bit, you know, she would be more willing to let it be more. But I think it's just been me just trying to be conscious of what time I'm spending on it.
Is she watching Grey's Anatomy and all that on Thursdays?
Okay.
My wife, well, I mean, I watch it now because like it's guilty pleasure. That's not so guilty, but yeah, Station 19, Grey's Anatomy and all that.
I have no idea how that show is still going.
I don't either. And it's like all new people.
Are they running out of ideas?
Yeah, they got to just recycle the same stuff. And then we restarted watching ER and we're like, hey, Grey's Anatomy stole
it. Yeah, right.
Oh, man. That's funny. So what do you like to do in your free time when you have it?
Ooh, free time lately has not been a thing. But
no, not right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, besides just watching sports, you know, I try to make plans with friends, dinner plans, you know, date nights with wife, stuff like that. Free time, because I got kids, is just not there as much as it used to be. But, you know, I also just... sometimes I have to consider that free time, right? Like going out to my kids' sporting events, watching and enjoying it, you know, being able to like hang out with the parents that are there. Like that's kind of the social hour of the weekend, right? Like sometimes there's just nothing you can do about it at this point. But you make the best of it with that kind of, you know, with young kids. I got a 9 and a 6 year old but yeah, I mean, it's, A lot of sports related stuff. You know, I dabble in video games here and there. I'm not super into it like I used to be, but you know, I'll turn on a game of like Madden or like FIFA or something every now and then, play for like a couple hours and go to bed. That's pretty much it. Pretty simple guy, actually. I don't do a whole lot.
Well, you brought up the beer of the week that you have on the mm-hmm. show. Do you have a favorite beer of all time?
That is, I've had a lot, so I don't know.
Do you even remember?
My go-to beer, like if I just, so I'm a big IPA guy. A local beer, and it's actually, it's funny, I call it my gateway IPA beer. It's the very first IPA I ever had. It's called Loose Cannon. It's from a brewery very local here. And that's kind of like my go-to IPA. It's not the best, but it's like right in the middle ground. It's just good. And it's like on the cheaper end side. Like IPAs can get expensive. I'm drinking right now like one of these, you know, these 16 ounce 4-pack things that you can find. So these things can get up to like $20 for 4 beers. You know, I can get a 12-pack of Loose Cannons for like the same price.
So it's like, there you go.
You know, so that's kind of like my, if I'm just, I need something to drink that's a little bit cheaper and it's not, maybe not as good, but it's still good. Like that would be like my go-to. My favorite beer, like I would have no idea. I would have to go through, like I actually do use Untappd
okay.
to like keep track of beers. It's more just so like I know what I've had before, because
yes.
I always like to try new things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm at restaurants or like, you know, the store, and I'm like, oh, have I had this before? What do other people think of this? You know, I kind of, you can see ratings and things like that. So I use Untappd for that. I'm sure I've given something like a 4 or 4.25 out of 5 or like 4.5 out of 5. And those are like the top one that I can think of. It's actually a beer in Virginia called Aslin, and their Triple Starfish IPA is like phenomenal. That's probably one of my top ones if I could come up with something off the top of my head.
I like that you brought it Untappd, because yeah, I do that with cider, because I want to make sure I'm not going to order one that's sweet. I want to make sure that did I like it? Did I not? So yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, that too. If I have to order something I've ordered before, did I like it before? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't want to order something bad.
Right? What a waste. So something that is good is, you know, all the stuff that you do. And I want to just know if there's one fantasy sport that you're just not, you've either never done or you're not that good at, which one would you think you would most likely be good at?
I've played one season of it, and I did it just because my site was desperate. You know, this was back in the day when it was only me. My original writer was the one who did it, but it's fantasy hockey.
Oh.
I did one public league just to have the list of players, and it's hilarious. I actually won the public league. And it equated to two reasons. One, to public league, and probably a quarter of the way into the season, half the league didn't pay attention. So that helps. But then also, I'm just good at analyzing data, studying box scores. Probably one of the origin stories that was when I look back and I think back at like box scores, right? Like I came across, like I went through like my mom's like closet of all the stuff she kept when I was a kid, and we were going through it, and I came across these binders where I used to keep, going back to like my Redskins days, I kept newspaper clippings of the Redskins box scores and like newspaper articles. I used to just open up the Washington Post every morning, read box scores. That's what I did. Like, this was natural for me. Like, this is what I was meant to do, I feel like. Study sports data. And so, you know, I really don't know much about hockey, but I can study the data. So I feel like if I had to try again, I could probably figure it out. Now, if I'm in a league with a bunch of guys who know the sport, I'd probably get smashed. But I could probably, you know, hold my own in a public league again.
There you go. Man, Joe, it's been great having you on the show. Like, I learned so much about you, and I'm really excited to put this one out for everybody. And why don't you go ahead and just plug all your stuff again and let everybody know where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you for having me on. This was a blast. This was so much fun. Again, I listened to all the other episodes. This is exactly what I was expecting. This was great. we're gonna have to like do the flip side of this one time, and you answer all the questions. By the way,
I have an episode out.
Oh, do you?
I do. So okay. Russ Fisher interviewed me. So if you know Dynasty Outhouse, yeah.
We'll have to listen to that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Because as soon as I was listening,
I'm sure things have changed.
Needs to be in reverse. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but we did finally.
Yeah. So I'm fantasysixpack.net at @F6P_Joe on Twitter. We've got a Facebook page. But again, we do football, we do baseball, we do basketball, we do hockey, we do golf. We are selling memberships right now. So our now award-winning, well, not now, but the actual, like, we got number one in the fantasy baseball rankings this past year. So for baseball, Keith Lott, congrats to him. And two other of us were in the top 10. So we got three of us in the top 10 for the baseball rankings of our Fantasy Pros. So if you want access to those directly on our site, you go there. We've got our memberships. Got Discord now. All the information is on the site. And if you need any other information, just hit me up on Twitter at @F6P_Joe. It's all, you know, I'll answer anything you need.
Thank you again, Joe, for coming on. Like, thank you. And for everybody that's listening, I wanted to also thank you guys and gals for listening as well, because it means so much. Every time somebody sends me a tweet to tell me that they listen to the show or that they learn something from someone. So keep up the awesome work of listening, and make sure you come back next week for another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem. And remember to stay rad.